But we start with daring. In the early 2000s, Maynooth scientist John Sweeney wrote a report about future weather changes in Ireland due to climate change. And in it, he predicted wetter, longer winters, a reduction in the number of frost days and drier summers. Well, we are seeing these changes play out. It has been a very difficult year for dairy farmers, with 9 months of wet weather, low to no grass growth and a deep concern about the autumn and winter ahead. Well, during the week, Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, advised farmers to prepare for longer winters from now on. And that'll mean they'll need to have more feed banked up and more slurry storage because animals may be housed for extended periods. Well, yesterday, I travelled to the southeast to hear from two dairy farmers about how they are responding. And I began with Kate Curran, who farms 200 cows in Portlaw, County Waterford.
It's all washed up now and it's nice to be done in a lovely morning. It's nice
beautiful.
Morning this morning, yes.
And the sun is streaming in, but it has not been like that this year, has it?
No, definitely not. Like, it's been very rare for the sun to be coming out, so it's lovely when it does come out because there's not been many milkings now that you could go around in t-shirts and shorts. It was hard for the grass to grow and it's only, and even the clover wasn't really coming. Now it's only coming, like that should be coming April, May.
So we're walking down the path, your cows there, head down eating the grass. How has the year been?
The year has been really tough on us, really, on the farmers. And like, we were so lucky, here that we have, there's myself, Shane, and his dad, John. We're the three full-time on the farm. And we get a student then in the spring. So we were very lucky that we had all the help. And we just built a new calf shed there. It was just luckily finished just before the cows started calving. Really, it didn't stop raining last year. Since nearly June, you could say there was 1 week, and it's just been non-stop rain, and it's been very difficult. The cows then were in early. Obviously, it was a knock-on effect then on our fodder. So, like, we were feeding earlier in silage, and we only had budgeted really for, you know, usually a four-month winter. Like, you know, if you had it, we'd always have maybe a silage pit left over. But and as well, that's a knock-on effect then on our slurry storage, because you've had cows in earlier and you've more slurry, and then as well trying to get out onto fields, it's just been very difficult. We just did a budget there, a fodder budget, and we're stocked correct to the numbers. We've the right number of cows, and we're in a 30% deficit. But like this year, like, we had to buy in bales, we had to bring in a load of beet just to help, because like we ran out of our silage, which would never happen. So this year, like, it's just we're really budgeting really for a 6 month winter. So
Minister McConlogue, the Minister for Agriculture, said during the week, you need to budget for 7 months now. Mm.
That's like, going forward, we hope that won't, like, we hope it'll be only maybe 1 in 5 that you're going to get something like this. But with climate change, you just have to be there and adapted. We are getting the drier summers and we are getting wetter winters and more rain. So I suppose, like, we are going to, as farmers, have to try and adapt to that as best as we can.
Have you sat down and thought, right, what am I going to do?
The biggest thing that we're going to have to look at is our slurry storage. Like, on paper, we have right amount of slurry storage. But with the amount of rain that we're getting and that cattle are coming in earlier, in January, when you want to get out with your slurry, we're not able to get, like, when you want to go out, the grass is, you know, it's waterlogged. You're not able to travel on ground with that, or you're going to get stuck, basically. So you don't want to be damaging your fields. We're trying to cut back on our fertiliser. So we want to really keep that quality slurry. We don't want to be just throwing it out onto fields for just, oh, get to get it out. You want to try and keep that and use it beneficial for in the rest of the year in your farm.
So slurry storage being a big issue, because as you say, if the weather is going to be wetter, the winters are going to be longer, your cows are going to be inside for longer, which means that you need to manage that slurry. What else are you looking at?
We're nearly into August now, like next week, and we're hoping to go at second cut next week, and hopefully now the grass is starting to grow and that we get a good back end year. But if we don't, we're definitely going to be, any of the cows that are not in calf, we're going to offload them earlier than we'd usually keep them. We'd sell them in January, but definitely, like, if the grass doesn't pick up, we will be offloading them. It just, we hopefully build a buffer and a surplus. That's what we're hoping to do. With climate change now, it's really hard to know.
Dairy farmer Kate Curran on how she is going to manage the winter ahead. Well, I've just jumped into the car and I'm going to drive half an hour south to Jill O'Sullivan, who is a dairy farmer outside Dungarvan. The decision that Jill and her husband Neil have taken this year is to reduce cow numbers, which brings them out of derogation, the exemption that was given to Ireland by the European Commission, which allows a small number of farmers to keep more cows per hectare than normal. For Jill, the decision is mainly about building resilience for the future.
If we model our farm on how other research farms do it, it wasn't going to work on our farm, because one thing is significant about our farm, it's on the side of a hill, is very challenged when it comes to dry periods because we have very shallow soils and they're south facing. Our farm system had to be resilient for the market pressures. So that's milk price and input costs. And secondly, our farm system had to be resilient for climate extremes, which we were seeing more of. And then thirdly, our farm had to be resilient in terms of policy direction. Our farm is very much under pressure when we get 10 dry days, which is unlike 80% of other farms in the country. Climate variability, in essence, over the next and over the last 40 years and over the next 40 years, it is what's forecast is longer dry spells, wetter winters in its most simple terms. And over the last 40 years, we've had a threefold increase globally in the number of extreme weather events. So that's storms, droughts and flooding that has occurred globally. So farmers are farming under conditions of increased risk over the last 40 years, and that will continue to impact farm businesses over the next 20, 30, 40 years, and farmers will have to adapt to that.
You wrote a piece in the Farming Independent during the week and you said, when it comes to policy, specifically nitrates and reducing emissions, farmers have been asking for clarity but have been left in the dark. The wait for clarity has been difficult to bear. Can you explain a bit about that?
Every year we hear new regulations being put in. The strong cooperation measure is a really good example of how it's put in and then pulled out mid-season. And when it comes to other things that will affect how we farm at the moment is derogation. When we have such little clarity about where the derogation is going, and this because the government has to apply for a derogation to the European Commission in 2025, and we don't know what the outcome of that will be. Year in, year out, the lack of clarity around this decision is putting a lot of stress on farms. For us, docking the farm for the level of grass growth that we can manage with a particular level of nitrogen that we've managed, we've pulled nitrogen out of our farm system over the last couple of years. When we can't grow as much grass as other farms, then we can't stock as high as other farms. So that's how we end up having to, for us, to have that little bit of capacity brought into our business to reduce our stocking numbers. That's just to stock the farm appropriately for the amount of grass that we can grow.
Getting out of derogation from a point of view of paperwork, I mean, it's a regulated space. Will that free you up more as well?
Like, derogation brought huge benefits. If you look out into that field over there, Ella, you'll see that there's a water tank right in the middle of the field. You see all the water courses are fenced off. And how we apply slurry here is using low emission slurry spreading methods. And all of that stems from the positive environmental benefits of being in derogation, because you have much stricter regulation. And now that we opt out, that we're dropping out of derogation, it means that, yes, we have far less regulation, far less paperwork.
Is a lot of it trying to get ahead of the curve for you and manage some of the potential chaotic weather patterns that will be ahead because of climate change?
We started farming in 2009, 2010. But when we got to 13, I remember I was pregnant and my daughter was born in mid-July. And it was sweltering. It was the first summer that our grass growth was really challenged with the model that we were following at the time. And then again in 18, we got scolded that summer. And we said, right, we need to readjust how we look at the farm in relation to these prolonged dry spells in the summer. And since 18, we've probably had a mini little dry spell. Maybe it might last probably 2 weeks of dry weather or intense heat. We definitely had one in 19, 20. Again, last summer was a very wet summer. So it's that variability, and trying to bring that variability into your farm planning is solely about being adaptive and having and forward planning and having that war chest on hand to deal with it. Things have had to change over the last while, and you've had to bring that capacity into the system, that resilience into the system to deal with those, just the more variable weather patterns that we're having.
Your decisions and the decisions you've taken over the last number of years, which have led to this situation where you're no longer in derogation, financially, do you feel optimistic about it? Do you feel that you're in a good, you're going to be in a good position now?
Yeah, I think our focus is always on, I mean, first and foremost, if we're not making money, we're not running a farm. We wouldn't have, you know, we're at nothing. So first and foremost, in any of our decision making, it has to be around the financial aspect of it, maintaining a margin on every single litre every year. And that's a key foundation for profitability in our business.
Jill O'Sullivan just outside Dungarvan, and before her you heard Kate Curran in Portlaoise. And thanks so much to both of them for explaining how they are going to manage the challenges ahead. And obviously here's hoping for a good August and September for all the dairy farmers out there.